Il film di Thanks Me the Table, of course, I want to read Warren Fory. There are other passages we could read, but we just keep the familiar passage from Galatians chapter 5. Reading from verse 16, this I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, enemies, murders, drunkenness, violence, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now some say that because we, as a denomination, preach the whole counsel of God, it is not really necessary to fence the table. Everybody knows that nobody comes to the table but people who believe, have been brought to saving knowledge of Christ, and are resting upon Him. But you see, we will be taking an awful lot for granted. We ministers find from time to time that people cannot even grasp intimations. Oh, they have intimations wrong. Never mind these profound matters. So it is appropriate when we gather on an occasion of this to make it abundantly clear that the Lord's table is not wide open to everybody. Now, God has provided us with the gospel. And first we must come to a saving knowledge of the Lord. In the sacrament, we have every grace conveyed to us as necessary, but not converting grace. And therefore a person coming to the Lord's table who has never undergone a spiritual change cannot benefit from the sacrament. He's not saved. And how can he benefit? How can it be a means of grace to an unsaved person when a converting grace does not come to one to the sacrament? It comes to the preaching of the word, not to the sacrament. And we're told that to eat and to drink worthily is to eat and to drink damnation to oneself. Now, when people come forward to the kirk session are not there to determine whether the person has been regenerated or not. That's not their business. God knows whether the person has or not. They are there to listen to the person's testimony, that is scripture. And they are there to look at the person's life. Is the life he lives corresponding with the testimony he makes? And if the two agree, they have no warrant to withhold the sacrament from that person. The onus rests on that person. But the point is this, friends, that we must be born of the Spirit before we can benefit from the sacrament. Now, this reminds us then of the importance of being obedient to the Lord. There are people, I believe, in all of our congregations who should be at the Lord's table. People who have come to a saving knowledge of Him, maybe they lack assurance of faith, but the fact is that everybody can see that they have come to a saving knowledge of the Lord, and yet they will not come forward to the Lord's table. And they make all kinds of people excuses. If there is such a person here today, listen to me for a moment. Do you realize the seriousness of what you do? You are cutting yourself off from a means of grace
gorgeous planet.
You are starving yourself of the blessings which will come to you through this means of grace. Yes, the word is a means of grace. Go and feed your soul. But if there had been no necessity for the sacrament, it wouldn't be there. It is necessary. So it's imperative, friends, that we be obedient to God and that we perform our duties. So I don't want to take up much time. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper is there for the strengthening of the believer, for their encouragement, for their growing grace, and for indeed moving forward in this world in preparation for the life that is to come. And some people think that, you know, when they sit at the Lord's table, they should have some special experience. And if a person has a special experience, that is good. It doesn't mean, though, if you haven't got any experience of that nature, that the sacrament is not blessed to you. Let's stop for a moment and look at the mystery we see attached to it. You take a piece of bread, and that piece of bread is symbolic of the broken body of Christ. You take a mouthful of wine, and the wine is symbolic of the blood of Christ. And you ask yourself, how can that be a blessing to my soul? How can that be a means of grace to my soul? Only with the blessing of the Lord. Faith is your warrant for coming to the Lord's table. And in partaking of the sacrament, you do so by faith, that with the blessing of the Lord upon it, it will be a means of grace to your soul. And from that it doesn't follow that it's going to be a means of grace the moment you partake of it. Maybe in weeks, in months to come, the blessings of the sacrament can be experienced by you. So it's important then that we say, no, whilst then the warrant for killing is faith, because in all this form, that maybe we should be at the sacrament. If there is something wrong in our life, we will put that right, and then come. The Lord says, if I regard sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So to put everything away, even if we had strife and things like that, put all that away. And let us come to the table, let nothing inhibit the blessing of the Lord. Well, I believe these few thoughts with you. And whilst we're singing a few verses from Psalm 118, if there is anyone else present who has not taken his or her place at the table, would you please make your way to the table whilst sing a few verses from Psalm 118, and maybe sing verse 50, maybe four verses. In dwellings of the righteous is heard the melody of joy, and has the Lord's right hand doth ever violently. The right hand of the mighty Lord exalted is at high. The right hand of the mighty Lord doth ever violently. I shall not die but live, and shall the works of God escape. The Lord will be chastised its soul, but not to death given over. Or set the opening to me the gates of righteousness. Then will I enter into them, and the Lord will bless. In these verses in the Gospel, Psalm 118, at verse 15, he dwells of the righteous is there, the melody of joy and hymn.
Oh,
We were all as an unclean thing, and all the righteousnesses
ورزقك بالعكس. في تعظيم that Christ suffers when not in vain. We add the it for his death, and we thank thee for his intercession that continues at thy right hand, and that he will return on the last day to gather all his people together to be forgiven with himself. We pray then to sanctify to us the sacrament. And we pray that they will set aside the portion of the elements that will be used here today from a second element to the Holy Use. Guide us in all that we do and forgive us those sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. And we now get an area of thought for a few moments to the Gospel according to John, chapter 15 and verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye cannot do nothing. For the first thing we notice in these words is the emphasis on union. I am the vine, ye are the branches. And following on from union, we have communion. And following on from union, we have dependence. A lot more of us here to speak to these few thoughts. First of all, we have union. Now, you wouldn't need to be much of a gardener at this time of year if you were to be brought along to a tree with a bare branch that you should let us get meant to be convinced that there was life in that branch. No sign of the leaves, the flower, and the fruit. The potential is there to see the little buds. So you wouldn't need really to be with the gardener to agree yes, there is life in the branch. There is life in the branch, said the landscape to the tree. We cannot fence, yield one single fruit of the Spirit unless we are in union with Christ. It cannot be done. The branches that Christ has been cut off, these are only just mere members. They were never in vital union. So, union of Christ is vital, it is absolutely necessary for salvation. If not, the branch of the drop of life we gather together has to defy. Now we follow that. How can you have communion unless you are in vital union with Christ? Yet there are minnows in the world, minnows, who purport to be Christians. They have a clue of it, it's like communion. And they say they have communion, how can you have communion when you're not even united to the vine? Can't be done. Can't be done. So communion follows communion of fellowship. What a wonderful experience it is that we, people, creatures of the dust, can enter into fellowship with the God of the universe. And that in Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead on the earth. He that has seen me has seen the Father. And the time is coming when we shall see Christ his face. What excitement, friends, for the believer as he comes to the end of Christ's journey. He suffered to come face to face with the Lord. No longer was he seeing him darkly as in a glass, but face to face. The very Lord who loved me and gave himself for me. And I can enjoy communion with him in his soul. isn't it tremendous that we should guard against everything that obstructs his coming in the day? It's so easy for us to get caught up in the things of the world, even things that are quite legitimate themselves. We get caught in that by giving in too much of our time, by too much of our affections. We should be on guard, on guard. And there are times there when we're there and we know we are getting through to God. And the heart melts. And you don't want to come away from that all of this. There are other times when we persevere to try and get through. Persevere and disobedience. But my point is, communion is so special. And you must be able to have power to maintain. And then, the third thing is dependence. Because it is said there, without me, ye can do and the longer we are in the wilderness, the Lord of Christ is precious to the same sinner, the more we will sin, the longer we are in the wilderness, the more precious it becomes. Everything else is getting dimmer and dimmer by the day. Yes. The closer we are getting to the end of the journey, it was getting dimmer. In my friends. And my reason for reading all this is another thing that we discovered is that we can do nothing with this lesson. You know, there are certain duties that will endanger our tactic of seeking the law. We are facing the problems that things look so obnoxious. There's so much you to worry about. We don't know the little danger in the very things which we perceive as in our lives. We don't know. We must put the law before us in everything. We dare not do anything without the law before us. Without the blessing of the Lord, without the protection of God upon us. I remember, I just mentioned the passages to highlight what I have said. I remember once doing visitation at one house of country. And I've been through it many times before. And as I was talking to the almost half a mile to go into that house. But there were problems. I didn't feel really safe. And this is not one. You never know. In doing the duties, even if you've been in many parts, what problem might we must put the Lord before us and be dependent for the strength we have, for the use of our little gifts we have, the discharging of all the gifts we must accomplish. The third thing we can do. And I need just these few words with him. We will not withhold the sacrament from me anymore. We read there that Christ, in an attitude of bread, he took the bread and he prayed. The breaking of the bread is so important. It points to the breaking of his body for his people. He breaks it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you." And he also took the cup and said, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, to show the Lord's death until he comes."
few points today to follow on to what I've already said, a few points are the importance of holiness and of usefulness. It is very easy for people to have a very strange view of what holiness is. In terms of attending all the service of the Sabbath, it's expected of someone who is living a holy life. And then, of course, it is extremely amazing for a certain company of people, certain situations. But the truth is, friends, that we take the Word of God as the rule to direct us, we should take holiness with us wherever we go. Wherever we go. And you see, if we are obedient to the Word of God, then concomitant with that will be usefulness. What's the point in a person professing to belong to God, and in the one place he's the most adamant person there? We should remember what an insult that is to the Savior he professes. Or if we cannot be neighborly, because somebody is of a different, has a different view of things, we can condemn it, that life has been condemned, and yet we can still show gentleness, we can show kindness. Wherever we go, we are God's people. It's not something that just takes place once a week. Wherever we go in the world, whatever we do, we must remind people that we belong to the Lord. We belong to the Lord. And to me, dear of the Lord, and to be strengthened by Him for all the duties that we have to do. And if we live near the Lord, the Lord will use us as instruments. We will be useful. It's very useful indeed. Don't ever look to yourself as just a feeble instrument. That's what we are. We're only feeble instruments. But the feeblest of instruments in the hand of God is something to remember. Just think of a jawbone in the hand of a salsa. A feeble in the hand of anyone else, you could have interviewed that. But in Samson's hand, it was a powerful weapon. How much more so is a feeble, holy creature in the hand of an omnipotent God? Yes, he is. Ye are my witnesses. Ye are the light of the world. We are to let people know we belong to Christ. Let them see that a holy life is a happy life. It's a happy life. A holy life is a secure life. We'll never be cast away from the Lord. We will strive to influence others, to bring them into the kingdom. And you never know, friends, when God will bless His own word to someone. Maybe when you think that your weakness, it's that point that God needs to start. And I'm not going in, we're going in. I had a personal experience many years ago, a circumstances, I had prepared a sermon with a very short amount of time, and I just felt very unprepared. I really did, I just felt so utterly. And when I finished it, I said, very well, I really did, I just was glad to be able to get it done. I don't convert me, a person to that message. So we mustn't look to the weakness of the instrument. We mustn't look to ourselves. We must all remind ourselves that He who uses us is powerful, is mighty, and mighty to save. Let us not then be careless in the way we think, the way we conduct ourselves. That inhibits the blessing. And it inhibits our usefulness as well. We should be the most conscientious, the most skillful in the world. We must actually be the most neighborly of neighbors.
who will show kindness and compassion and consideration. You expect that of someone in whose love, in whose heart, the love of Christ is shared. We can't behave like that. We can't do it in ourselves. The love of Christ constrains us. We will have way past endless hindrance to this witness. May God bless these few thoughts.